been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Wow. It's all I can really think of at the moment. That, I don't know if we can call it a game on Sunday. That mixed emotions, the terribleness. I don't know. Josh, can you help me out here? Joining me, as always, my buddy Josh. What the heck was that on Sunday?
All I can do is just laugh from keeping going insane. But I will say this. I have to almost give the shout out to the Bears brothers, because did I not call a trick play?
You did. You did with the Bear brothers. And congrats to them, I guess, are in order, I guess. But yeah, you called it. And we saw a trick play. We saw a little bit of everything on Sunday.
Dude, I don't even know. I mean, this is the point of the season and the point of the, I guess, our shows where we just become dumbfounded. It's like, how weak the week is this league? I mean, not just starting on us, but like, look at the Steelers, okay? Just backtrack from last week. We looked so good against the Raiders. We, you know, made every pass. People were catching the ball. We started out fast, throwing the ball downfield. Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers didn't get it together. Ben throws five picks against the Jaguars. He's like, I don't know if I have it anymore. Then the Ravens come home with a rookie quarterback who we are always awesome against, and you would think everything's right in front of us, but no. The Steelers have, after they played what they did, right, okay, they go to Arrowhead at a Chiefs team who is 5-0 and who's on fire, and total role reversal. The Ravens looked like they had a rookie quarterback, and the Steelers took care of business in Kansas City, and here we go. We're back at it. I mean, this week, this league is so week to week, it's not even funny, dude. I don't know what the Ravens' problem is, but there's a few things I really want to just, you know, preach on a bit. But I want to ask you, in watching this game, what did you see that was the problem? Like, did you hone in on any certain point and go, you know what, I think that's the underlying issue?
You know what, that's the crazy thing. The NFL is full of mediocrity right now, but the Ravens, there isn't one thing wrong. There's a whole mess of things wrong with this team. We're recording this on Tuesday night. I am absolutely shocked that no one has been fired in any way, having that stat go away that there's a rookie quarterback comes in and wins a game at M&T Bank. I figured after that somebody's head was going to roll, but nobody's did. The Ravens are outcoached, you know, depending on the week. Joe Flacco is making some really dumb mistakes for a 10-year veteran. The wide receivers aren't catching the ball when they have to be. Brandon Williams is obviously missed. Eric Weddle's not finishing tackles. There's problems everywhere. Special teams is one of the only things where it seems to things are actually working. But due to poor clock management, we're not seeing Justin Tucker and some of the other special teamers on the field when we want to. This team feels as if they wanted to go defense strong over because of the draft and the offseason, the changes made. However, you lose one player, Brandon Williams, and everything just goes down the crapper, and the defense doesn't know what they're doing anymore. And yeah, I know Carl Davis wasn't in, and he was supposed to take Brandon Williams' place, right, sort of. But still, this team, I don't know. I don't know what the main problem is. I feel as if it was a pie chart, there would just be like 20% of every single problem, because everything is wrong with this team, even though there's so much talent on it. There is not one thing wrong, but a whole mess of things wrong.
There is, man, and I can really agree with some of your statements. I mean, you're right. It's hard to play winning football or championship caliber football when a lot of your stars are hurt. I mean, just look at the Packers, dude. They lost the arguably the best player in the league right now, and Aaron Rodgers with a broken collarbone. So, I mean, hey, you know, it's not just us. We have to deal with these kind of injuries. So, you know, I'm not going to sit here and whine and complain that Brandon Williams isn't out when obviously the Packers are dealing with new Aaron Rodgers right now. But and obviously Giants have no Beckham. So it's not just these unnamed guys, not to say anybody who gets hurt, you know, a no-name guy or anything like that. But when you see these superstars get hurt, there's a big impact. And I think it's wholeheartedly with this run defense, dude, Brandon Williams takes up two defenders. And when you sign a guy with that caliber contract, it's just so tough to replace that. And you're seeing the effects of it. You probably didn't see it right away, but now it's just catching up to him. And it's just really frustrating because you know that's the issue. You don't want to, you know, just say it's just that, but and then it's right on the offensive line. No Yonda, you know, the pass blocking is crazy. Last week we're grading Ryan Jensen and Ron Stanley the highest grades, and then this week it's like, you know, come on guys, I wouldn't even say it's a line. This week there's a multitude of things, and I'm just going to preach here, man. It's a lack of playmaking ability in the receiving core. I mean, everybody, of course, is going to crucify Joe Flacco for this game. Oh, it's his fault and all that. But he didn't throw two interceptions. Yes, it goes on his stat sheet, but they were deflections in the receiver's hands.
He hit those. I mean, the one to Chris Moore towards the end of the game was a little high. Yeah, I'll admit that. However, I still see that as a catchable ball.
You're right, a little high, but then you look at other players who go up and get balls. I mean, how many times has Calvin Johnson gone up and gotten high passes from Matt Stafford? How many times has Odell Beckham stretched? How many times, you've seen it this past week before Aaron Rodgers got hurt. Devonta Adams, you know, Aaron Rodgers put the ball up where no one can get it, but Devonta Adams, and he stretched and made a play. Yeah, he's a big physical receiver, but then you look at the other things, like the Steelers. You know, the ball bounces that way. Antonio Brown gets a deflection, and he scores a touchdown. Things happen like that. But I feel like, you know, I just watch highlights of, you know, Bolden, Derek Mason, Steve Smith. And, I mean, yeah, we always sign these savvy veterans to come in and make an impact. But I feel like – but they're always there making plays. You look at the Super Bowl run and in the Colts game, the playoff game at home, Bolden made play after play. You look in the Super Bowl, Bolden went up and got balls. I mean – do you remember that third and one play where Flacco called the audible and he threw it on a rope to Bolden? He just went up and got it.
Yeah.
Like, remember the touchdown passes in the AFC Championship game where Flacco threw it over the middle and Bolden just went up and grabbed it?
Oh, yeah.
Like, were they not high? He had to jump for him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, exactly. So I'm saying, yeah, he might throw him a little high. He can't be accurate 100% all the time. He's not perfect. He's human. But the fact is, when you put the ball in the vicinity, I'm not saying your hands or the hot zone, but your vicinity, it's like baseball, dude. When a hitter has a hot zone, you don't have to hit home runs. Oh, if the ball's not pitched there, they're not going to get a hit. Good hitters in baseball adjust. You know, that's what makes Chris Davis so good, you know, when he hits opposite field home runs, because you know what? He adjusts to that and he adjusts his swing. Same thing. Receiver's got to adjust his way. He's got to twist his body. And I feel like, you know, yeah, it's all on Joe, but I feel like this could all have been avoided if it comes down to this, man. And I'm going to say it's coaching. And whether it starts at the top at Harbaugh, whether it's a multitude of things with the coordinator, I don't know. But I'm just very edgy right now. And you can tell because to me, as an NFL fan, again, I'm not a head coach. I'm not an assistant coach. I don't know the game of football like the diehards do, or the ones who played it or coached it, or, you know, or into the game like that. But to me, when the Ravens are nonchalantly walking up to the line, whatever, I don't know how fast or who's calling the plays on the sideline, whether I bet you it's Marty. I would assume it's Marty, right? So when they get the play in and Flacco's walking up to the line with like 11, 10 seconds left, and they feel like they got 2 minutes when they only got 40 seconds. When that ball's reset, there's 40 seconds and that's continuous clock. It doesn't stop. It's 40 seconds. Now, I feel like with the Ravens, the way they play games, they don't get blown out. So why are you calling timeout to save you 5 yards when obviously, you know, you can't even make a first and 10 converted because you go 3 and out? So I feel like it's a wasted opportunity. And then look what happened. 12 seconds left. They throw the ball in the middle of the field, and instead of trying to run up and spike it with time left, yeah, oh, if they had 1 or 2 more seconds. But no, you pocket a timeout, and you would have had that. So I feel like it's just frustrating, dude, because I feel like obviously if we had one timeout, not two, not three, but one, we would have won the game. Well, Tucker still got to make his field goal, but we would have won the game. So I feel like there's a lot of finger pointing, but the play call is so vanilla, dude. If, you know, I know me and you aren't in the studio together today, but my plan was to I was going to get some vanilla ice cream on my way over, and I was going to have you eat some and go, hey, does that taste good or does it taste bland? Because that's the Ravens offense we're chowing down on, because that's what they are, dude. They're just a bowl of vanilla ice cream. Whoever's calling the plays, they're not creative. I watch the Texans and Colts, or not Texans, sorry, the Titans and Colts on Monday football, and you know, they're getting creative. You know, they're calling plays, they're calling this, they're calling plays, and I said it in the stands, Brandon, and you could probably really level with me here. I said, the guys in front of me, I said, look, guys, I said, I coached basketball, I played basketball, and I was mentored by some coaches, and they told me time and time again, when the game is on the line, you call plays to put the ball in your playmaker's hands and let them do their job. And it's like, you know, it's the same thing. Hey, if it's fourth quarter and you need a 2-minute drive, which quarterback do you want? Oh, I want Brady. I want Manning. Oh, I want Rodgers, you know, or I want Brett Favre in his prime or whatever. It's, you know, oh, if the game's online, I want to throw a touchdown pass. Do I want a Gronk? Do I want a Beckham? Do I want Antonio Brown? Do I want Julio Jones? You have to think about those things. And it's like, to us, it's like no one's stepping up. I mean, you have Mike Wallace over there, and the Ravens didn't look his way once. It's like, Marty, did you forget the number 17's on the team?
I don't know why Mike Wallace is on this team.
And I feel like that's the main problem is Marty has already with, you know, Macklin's out. And I'm not making excuses, okay? Well, Macklin's not there, or this is not here, or we got Max Williams hurt again, or we got this. No, you know, roll the guys out there and make the plays, but Campanera's got to catch the ball. You know, Perryman's just – he's done, dude. I mean
– it's over for him. It really is. Dude,
it sucks. I mean, it's just, again, you can feel my passion and my wrath, man. I told you, I warned you it was fire and brimstone. I'm very frustrated with the way – And any fan is, but it's just I would be okay with it if, okay, they did well or they did this well or, you know, they played a great game. They just got outplayed or outcoached or outsmarted. But, you know, I warned, talking with the Bears brothers, I warned, hey, we're going to fall for them stupid trick plays. They just tried it, and lo and behold, they did it, and it succeeded. I mean, if we talked about it on a podcast as just, you know, quote unquote, just fans, and we called it right. How do you think the Ravens not prepared for that? I mean, yeah, it's probably hard to defend and hard to sniff out, but you had to know they were going to do it at some point. And it's just, they weren't ready to play, man. You're doing this at home, laying an egg. And it's like, they get up for the road game, but then they come home and it's like, they take it for granted. Like, let's come out. And I felt like the most pumped up the players were was during player introductions. That's what I saw on the field. And it was horrible.
The Bears are a 1-4 team now, 2-4. They are not a better team than the Ravens. I'm just going to put that out there. And the Ravens lost to them. The Bears didn't want to win this game. The Bears were giving the Ravens any chance that they could get to put points.
I was hoping it would end in a tie.
It looked like it almost was, but like the Bears were giving the Ravens so many chances to make plays, and the Ravens just didn't answer it. It's really sad, but the Ravens didn't answer it. Breshad Perryman, there's people out there that could argue he was a defenseless receiver, and that was a nasty hit. I somewhat agree with that. However, it is Breshad Perryman, so I don't know whether or not you can say it was because of the hit or because it was Breshad Perryman he didn't catch that ball.
He was made at the local glass shop down in Baltimore.
Right. So,
I mean, seriously.
So that's really upsetting. Chris Moore comes in. It was his first game of the year, I believe, and he caught a couple balls, but then that was it. Nick Boyle, he got the 2-point conversion, one-handed. He looked good, but Mike Wallace is not even. I don't know if he's still on this team, to be honest. I don't understand why re-sign him if you're not going to use him. Doesn't make any sense.
Use him. Let's trade him. Why not?
Exactly. And
I mean, seriously,
Joe. On the offense, look, Joe, it's not his fault for those interceptions. However, you are a 10-year veteran. What are you doing with a delay of game penalty? And what are you doing running with the ball and then chucking it past the line of scrimmage?
Why did he not run in the end zone? It looked clear to me.
Why? If you're afraid to get tackled, because that's what it looked like. He saw people coming at him and he's like, oh, crap. I need to protect my back and my knee because I think there's something going on with his back that they're not telling
us. It's psychological, dude. It's in its head.
I think it is, but like, why don't you slide? Like, why don't you just go down to the ground and just, you know, tackle yourself?
What, that would be just too easy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but
too much of them.
What are you doing at that point? That doesn't make any sense to me. Joe is a 10-year quarterback. He should not be making those type of mistakes. Now he knew immediately after he threw that ball. Oops. I'm past the line of scrimmage. That was dumb. Yes,
but you have to give the Ravens credit, and you know I'm going to give Harbaugh some flack for this because he's like our guy's resilient. Our guy, he always defends, and I feel like he's got to stop it. I feel like it's too much coach speak. He's telling the media what they want to hear, and really, you know, not really saying, you know what, this has to happen, or hold Marty accountable, and this and that. I feel like he's defending these guys, like coddling them, and he's enabling the situation. And I feel like it's got to stop. I mean, I watched the press conference. I mean, I love Harbs to death. I feel like, you know, he's been a great coach for us. But it's like, how much longer is this going to go on? Because I feel like, you know, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I feel like somebody's job's on the line here. And it could be Harbs if we don't make the playoffs this year. I mean, we're two games under 500 since the Super Bowl. What's that tell you?
I'm honestly still surprised he's the coach. I really thought.
I'm surprised Marvin Lewis is still the coach of the Bengals. I mean, made the playoffs 5 straight years and can't win a game. At least we're 10-5 in the Harbaugh era in the playoffs. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, I don't know. You can't really pinpoint one thing on this team that's wrong. Maybe that's why he still has a job.
But they look like they're not having fun. Like you know, it's like you watch old footage of Brett Favre. He runs around there. It just they don't look like they're having fun. Whether it's I don't know if they're spoiled brats, you know, spoiled millionaire brats. I don't know, dude. I don't know if they're just taking the game for granted. I don't know if they want to win. I don't know. Maybe they're just looking forward to the offseason or, like, you know, whatever. But, you know, hey, you know, let's – I mean, I'm not one for tanking the season and playing for draft spots. I would never say that. But it's like at this point, let's just start looking at next year's draft stocks because, you know, they're not a playoff team. And if they somehow get in the playoffs, I'm going to be very, very surprised and very, like, yeah, because – ain't going to go far, and they're going to waste a spot. But it'd be exciting at the same time. You want to root for them to do good. But another thing is, too, is I will say the only positive out of this game is you have to give them credit because there's fans that I know that left the game. And I was just sitting there, and we stayed to the end. But I'm like, but you have to figure. I was joking in stands like, oh, we suck. I was laughing. I couldn't even get mad. I was laughing. I was like, this team, they suck, dude. They're letting a rookie quarterback go right up and down the field. They can't stop the run. They suck. You know, and I'm like, and then they came back, and I'm like, no. And then my buddies, and then fans around me goes, no, just wait. This is just a tease. We're gonna lose the game. Don't worry. And it's just like, it's just sloppy. You come all the way back, and I feel bad for the defense, special teams, you know, in relation to the offense, because they made play after play after play after play, and the offense couldn't get it going. Dude, the only points that the offense couldn't do minus Tucker was a 2-point conversion. That's sad. And Brandon, I want to help me out here with a football field. Correct me if I'm wrong, but is the end zone at the opposite ends of the field, or is the end zone on the sidelines?
For the Ravens, I don't think they know, but I think it's supposed to be, you know, at the opposite end of the field.
Why? All right. Why are we calling it pass plays that are sideways? I think we pass more yardage left to right than we do north and south.
Oh yeah.
Am I wrong? It's frustrating.
Except when you want to stop the clock, then you just go right down the middle.
Well, yeah, when the game's online and you don't call those kind of outs. But I think I popped a blood vessel screaming, stop throwing it to the side. I was like, I was beside myself. I was like, I was done because they were calling play after. If you want to be aggressive and be resilient and want to come back in the NFL, want to show you're an elite team, throwing these little 4-yard checkdowns on 3rd and 7 ain't going to work, dude. I mean, Marty. I swear, and I said in the stands, I said a 10-year-old online on Madden on Xbox or PlayStation can call a better game. He has a better game plan and a scheme to beat you. He uses his players. Yeah, it's fantasy versus reality or video games, but I've seen it, dude. I've seen these, you know, little kids tear it up on the sticks, man. They're pretty good, and they know, hey, if you can't stop the run, I'm going to keep calling the same play till you stop it. You stop it there, I'll do a play action throw over you. I mean, it's easy. You know, it's a guessing game. Oh, you're going to line up in this defense. I'm going to play this call, you know, call this play. And I do it all the time myself. If I see somebody's blitzing, I'm going to audible into a quick slant and go, okay, you're going to blitz guys. I'm going to do a one-on-one coverage. Or, oh, I see you're one-on-one. I'm going to do a hot route to my fast receiver, and I'm letting them on the fly, and I'm just going to throw it up and let them get it. I see it all the time. I do it all the time in video games. Yes, it's not, you know, NFL is not video games, Brandon, but how hard is it to just get that concept? And the Ravens just they go through the motions, dude. It's frustrating.
The one of the biggest complaints I have, and I think this is the Harbaugh era, not Marty Morningweg, but opposite teams of the Ravens will go into the locker room and go, all right, this is what they're doing. Let's change this to this, that to that, da-da-da-da. The Ravens go into the locker room, take a breather, and go, all right, well, we're going to just continue to do what we're doing. And then they don't change anything whatsoever. So by, you know, third quarter, fourth quarter, whatever, the Ravens are playing the same game they were in the first, and the other team has moved on. And the other team has figured out what the Ravens are doing. I mean, how many times is Joe Flacco going to throw to his right to the sideline?
Yeah, like, it seemed like the same play every quarter. Every time they lined up, if it would, and I feel like the two players, and I'm going to single them out. Now, I can't judge the play of the line or who is, you know, playing their tail off. But two players I want to pick apart that pretty much played their tails off, and one on each side of the ball. Terrell Suggs and Alex Collins, I think, were the best two players on that field.
Well, I'm with you with Alex Collins, but I was also going to say Matt Judon had a great game.
Yeah, he did too, man. I think it was like, if correct me if I'm wrong, like 12 or 14 tackles, and I think a sack or two. I mean, but the defense was just everywhere, and I was very impressed with how they held their own.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, there are some spots that are great or pretty good for this team, but overall, it's a very disappointing Sunday game. And unfortunately, here we are, and we lost to a team that's the 1-4 coming in, and it's rough. Hopefully the people that are leading this team, Matt Judon, Alex Collins, who wasn't even, you know, originally a part of this team, Terrell Suggs, can maybe do something to lift this team up and figure out what's going on. But I don't know how to fix this team. I'm going to be honest. I don't see them winning another game this year.
They're a 5-11 or 6-10 team. They might be lucky to win 2 or 3. And what sucks is because we go to Lambeau Field in a month. Aaron Rodgers won't be there. We got to go up to Minnesota this week. You know, we got some winnable games here. And we got the Dolphins Thursday night. Dude, the Dolphins are going to come in Thursday night and beat us. Jay Cutler and all them are going to beat us. I mean, it's just going to be embarrassing on a national stage. I mean, you know, yeah, I'm not being negative Nancy or Debbie Downer, but I'm just being real. And this team, and I'm telling you, you know, I said it after week, what, 3 or 4, it's after a Steelers game, let me show some reserve. And it's just bad. I mean, I don't know what that Raiders game was about, but whatever mojo they bottled up out there, they left on the West Coast, and maybe they're going to leave it in Oakland when the Raiders move to Vegas. But whatever was out there, I don't know. But they lost the result, man.
They really have, and I don't understand what you're doing building a team. If one guy goes down, everything falls apart. I mean, we had Marshall Yanda going out. Marshall Yanda is a once in a lifetime type of player. Him losing him is absolutely huge. I'm not trying to demean the status of Marshall Yanda to this team. I mean, he is one of the best. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame of the NFL and the Ring of Honor for the Ravens and all that kind of stuff. But for him to go away and to have a rookie like Illuminor step in his place, of course he's going to have some trouble stepping up to the Marshall Yanda spot. But I don't think it's supposed to be that bad. Brandon Williams goes down, and I said it to you a couple weeks ago. Michael Pierce, Carl Davis, they will step in his place, and they will do a great job. They haven't shown up. Jeremy Maclin goes down for a game, and that was one of the reasons why he was a free agent. People didn't want to pick him up because he was injury prone. Here he is missing a Ravens game, and there's no one else that knows how to catch a ball for the Baltimore Ravens. I guess they were hoping – I don't know. He was a step up from Kamar Aiken from last year, but doesn't seem to be working out that way. Terrence West goes down, and he's out. And you have Alex Collins stepping up, even though he had a little bit of rough of a day. Buck Allen didn't do much. Bobby Rainey was good on special teams, but not a lot to write home about during the regular during the offense side of the game. So You need to build up these guys, and you need to have these guys step up. And the Ravens' mantra was always next man up. You say that all the time. However, I think they need to change that mantra, because next man up is kind of like anybody else out there. Anybody else want to play? Because next man up doesn't really it's not a part of this team anymore.
It's certainly not, dude. It's certainly not.
Oh, well, that was depressing.
It'll get better. I still love them. It's just they make us mad at times. They make us frustrated, but we're still here. We're still covering them. They're not going anywhere. But really want to end the show on a high note, dude. You know, before we get out of here, I want to give a shout out to Jim Jr. They came down. Jim Sr. came down from Pennsylvania. I know his son lives in the area here in Baltimore, and he came down from PA. Dude, we had a great tailgate, man. We had a great spread. They were gracious enough to link up with us. You know, bring some great cooking. He gave me some homemade salsa. We Ooh. Had, dude, I was full, ate 2.5 plates, dude. I think I was in a coma. I mean, I was in a food coma at Thanksgiving, bro. I needed Joey's Thanksgiving eating pants because it was bad. I always had to throw a Friends reference in there somewhere. But it was great, man. We had some great fellowship, great time, and playing cornhole, sitting around relaxing. And I linked up with a lot of friends down there. And we had near 20 people at our tailgate. So, I mean, we had a blast tailgating. I mean, it was great. The weather held off. It just ended up being a great Sunday morning. So I want to end it on a high note. It's always great to have our listeners meet me at the tailgate and meet us out and about. And, we do what we do, and we do it for you guys, man. We not only do it to put ourselves out there, and we do it because we love it. But I just wanted to say a big shout out and a thank you to linking up with me, man, and supporting the call. It's been great.
You know what else I got to bring up? Let's end this on an even happier note. Do you know what today is?
It's October 17th.
And that is 6 years ago today. I met a friend of mine at a Ray Lewis signing at High Tops in Timonium. This is the 6 year anniversary of you and I becoming friends and deciding we were going to start a podcast, because it showed up on my time hop. I have a wooden raven's head, and there's Ray Lewis signing it. And that's where I was sitting at a table all by myself. You come up, hey man, anybody sitting here? No, have a seat. And boom, 6 years later.
Well, you're going to make me feel bad because I kind of forgot our anniversary. I'm a bad co-host. You're probably going to leave me for somebody else now, aren't you?
The girl at the copy place.
She better be way better looking than me, because I'm telling you. But, dude, that's awesome, man. October 17th, man, that was great. You're right, man. I what happened was I was supposed to meet friends of mine at the signing and save a table, and they were like, oh, I can't make it. They were being, fickle. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to, and then that's why I pulled up a squad. I was like, hey, is anybody sitting here? And we made small talk, and the call was born.
That's right. And it's kind of the same story for me. Our friend Glenn was hosting this on this radio show, this live radio show. It was Brendan Imadejo's radio show.
Yes, I remember.
Ray Lewis was the special guest. So I texted all my friends, and I'm like, who wants to go see Ray Lewis? And I had a bunch of – I don't talk to these people anymore, by the way. But every single one of them was like, it's so far away. It's in Timonium. Yeah. Stupid. I don't know. Can you reserve me a seat? Wah, nope.
Yep, that's kind of like what my friends are doing. I'm like, nope.
And I went, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to go by myself.
And I do it all the time.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there, and I'm just I'm sitting there by myself. And you're like, "Hey, man, is this seat taken?" And I was like, "No, have a seat." And we just started talking, and you were going nuts to meet Ray Lewis. Like, even then, I was kind of like, "Man, this guy's got a thing for Ray Lewis. Like, he is a big fan." Because you're like in line, you're like, "I can't believe it. He's standing right there." And I'm like, "Yeah, yep. I know. It's Ray Lewis. He's right there. Chill." But you're like, "Yo, you don't get it. It's Ray Lewis." And I'm like, yep. "All right, I got you. Okay."
And his mom was there and everything. It was great.
Yeah, and then Ray Rice came in as well. I mean, it was a fun night in Timonium, and 6 years ago, and I think what 6 months later, maybe 9 months later, I'm like, "Hey, let's start a podcast about the Ravens. What do you say?" And it all started from there. So. What are we, 176 episodes in?
And that's
where it was born, at a Ray Lewis signing in Timonium.
Everybody, the Ravens bring everybody together. I love it, brother. And we're 170 plus episodes in, and we're going to do another 170 plus, and hopefully things are righted. I mean, but how special was it to link up that year and then cover the Super Bowl and be a part of the festivities? And we've grown a lot of listeners, and some new, some old, some, came and gone. And I love it every second of it, meet new people on the way. Can't wait to get after it in a few weeks, man. But I'll leave us with this before we ask the Raven what's what. But, we'll definitely be doing a special Purple Friday preview, because Got a road trip here coming up soon. I'll be flying out to Minnesota on Saturday morning, get to see the U.S. Bank Stadium in all its glory and the purple clash. It'll be a definitely purple Friday because, you know, we got the purple people eaters up there in Minnesota, the purple Ravens going, you know, going to town. So it's going to be fun. Can't wait. First road trip of this year, probably the only one, unless they go on another one later this year. But I can't wait to cover it fully, and you'll have a lot of pictures on the Fit Call Facebook page, me tweeting, Facebook Living, and it's going to be a grand old time.
Absolutely. So that's what to look forward to for the Purple Friday preview. You're going to have to stay tuned for that because we got a lot to talk about, purple versus purple, and a third-string quarterbacking for the Vikings and how the Ravens are going to handle that, because it's going to be kind of interesting to see what they come up with. So we'll be talking about that on Friday. But Josh, as far as the Red Eye Review goes, have we covered everything?
We quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
All right, guys, go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know if any news breaks, if we find some cool pictures or videos or memories or anything like that. Anything cool that we think you guys would enjoy Ravens-wise, we will share it with you on the call. So definitely like us over there. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to the call, and you should too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so much. It's been a crazy 6 weeks. We're 3-3, 6 weeks into the NFL season. Guys, it's just, I know it's frustrating. Stick with it. I'm not going to go an epic rant here. I kind of got what I need to say out. But we're going to keep it real always on the call. We're not going to sugarcoat it. We're not going to hold hands here because we're going to call it how it is. And this team needs to right itself. We're going to be in big, big trouble really quickly. I mean, just in the scheme of things, just think about this. As bad as it is, in the mediocre, watered-down NFL as it is today with all the injuries and all that, we're only two games out of the overall league as far as AFC. Chiefs are 5-1. We're 3-3. Yes, I know there's tiebreakers. Yes, I know we lost some important games, but just think about it. It's game number 7 on the horizon. We have already played 6 out of 16. We got 10 more games, you know. Not saying optimistic, not saying, hey, we can run the table at 8-2 and be fine, but just saying, hey, this isn't week 12 or 13 where we're out of playoff picture. I mean, you know, we play ourselves out of it right now, but we can just jump right back in, and we just got to start winning now, and they got to find a way. I mean, we've seen it. We've seen the Brands in the first 2 weeks, then they lost it. Then we've seen the Brands in Oakland, and they lost it again. So it's just, we can't keep complaining inconsistent footballs. We're going to end up at 8-8 as we always are. And you just got to write it. And it starts this week on the road to Minnesota. Maybe that'll be the key. Who knows? Until then, Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.